We continue the theme of the of response to the wonderful grace of God. Let's turn to the first of the Chronicles, chapter 11. Yes, chapter 11. I don't propose to read chapter 12. Yeah, chapter 11. These are just the names at the end of the chapter. I don't suppose to read them, but there are one or two names that struck me as I looked at them the other day. And one of the trophies of grace. Verse 39. Zelek, the Ammonite. Verse 41. Uriah, the Hittite. Verse 46. Ithmar, the Moabite. And then again in chapter 12 we have in verse 4, Ismaiah the Gibeonite. Now here we have men in the role of honor as one of the mighty men of David. And they are there, they wouldn't be in Israel at all, apart from the wonderful grace of God. Here we have one called Zelek the Ammonite, an Ammonite, and Ismaiah the Moabite. How wonderful that an Ammonite and a Moabite should be found amongst this roll of honor, the mighty men of David. I can't say any more about these two men because we're not told anything about them. We know that they were descendants of Lot by incest. It started badly and they continued badly, the enemies of God's people. And that's all we can say about them. They were forbidden to enter into the congregation of Israel. Yet here they are. Amongst the mighty men of David, what wonderful grace. We don't know what they did, but anyway, we know their response was great, or they would have been among David's mighty men. But here, perhaps if we get home, we can look up the names, what they mean, and I find something there, and I don't know whether their names mean what they mean. When we come to Uriah the Hittite, verse 41, we have somebody that we do know about. Perhaps we could turn to the 11th chapter of 1 Samuel. 11th chapter of 2 Samuel, again. 11th chapter of 2 Samuel, verse 6. And David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down unto his house," David said unto Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house?" And Uriah said unto David, "The ark, and Israel, and Judah, abide in tents, and my lord Joab, and the servants of my lord, are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go unto my house, to eat and to drink, and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." Here was a man who showed great response to the grace that had come to him. He was a soldier, primarily a warrior. And you know what the scripture says, Christian, as Christians we should be, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we should endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And that is just what Uriah was doing as one who had no great response to the grace that had been given to him. The ark was behind within tents. Israel and Judah were in tents, he said. So I will be in tents. I won't go and have a life of ease. I will endure hardness as good soldier truth. But we know that all Judah and Israel were not in tents, they had their houses. But all those that Uriah was interested in, they lived in tents, his companions, those he was interested in, those that desire therefore to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, they will have the company of those also who are in the same mind and of the same opinion. The ark itself dwelt in tents, and so he would do the same. He was a good soldier and endured hardness A response to grace. I hope we are all good soldiers. I hope I am. I hope we will endure hardness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, David, he treated Uriah very badly, as we know. David was a sinner. He wasn't, he was in some ways, of course, we are told, a man after God's own heart. But still, he fell very badly. When we endure hardness of our Lord Jesus Christ, he will never let us down. He won't treat us badly. I remember once a man said to me, I can just picture him there sitting and smoking his pipe, said to me, I was a Christian once. Yes, I was converted. I would join the Salvation Army and I was very zealous for it. But I gave it all up. I said, why was that? He said, well, the man that actually converted me was the reason for my conversion. I found out that he was utterly rotten and immoral to the core. So naturally I gave it all up. There was nothing else. I said, oh, what a shame. Who, what were you converted to? He said, well, I was converted to Christianity. I said, oh yes, that's the difference. You see, I was converted to Christ, not Christianity. Yes. It doesn't matter what the instrument is that brings us to Christ. When we are brought to Christ, he is the one that keeps us on the road. He will never let us down. And he always remains the same, as we sang in the last hymn. We need never fear that we will be stumbled by him. Tell us who Uriah did that. Then you had this Gibeonite that we had in the fourth verse. Now, the Gibeonites were, you know, just the Gibeonites. They came to Joshua, claiming that they came from a tremendous distance and deceived him, and Joshua didn't inquire the Lord, and so he made a pact with them, a peace with Israel, and he found out they were the next door neighbors that should have been on the list for destruction. Joshua was very angry indeed, and the Gibeonites were told that they would be in Israel, yes, but they would secure the wood, draw the water, menial, doing all the menial tasks. But the Gibeonites, they seemed to be quite happy with that arrangement. Grace, they realized that really their portion was destruction, and they were quite open happy to be secure the wood and draw the water. I don't think God was deceived at what they did. I know they deceived, they came by deception. So did Rahab. She told a lie, but her lie was her faith. It was demonstrating her faith. And these Gibeonites, they had faith. They believed that Israel would indeed prevail. Their God was greater than theirs. And so they did this thing, and they got on the side of Israel. And God, I think, was pleased with their faith. So much so that when Saul later on destroyed or killed some of the Gibeonites, their blood was required. That the oak had been broken, and it was made in them, and their blood was required of Israel. Gibeonites were used in many ways. It was Abinadab, who looked after the ark of God for 20 years. Their holy mechanisms, they are supposed by most people to be Gibeonites, and they were employed as servants of the Levites, a menial task. But there came a time when a small remnant came back in the time of Ezra. There were very few Levites, only about 38 of them, but 200 and odd Nethinims. And so the Nethinims were given responsibility in the service of the temple that really they hadn't expected to have. They had Levite jobs. That's a wonderful thing. You know, we at this time, we are living in random times, and there are apparently very few of us. There are just twos and threes meeting in different places. They may not find much gift, but the Lord is able to help those who are left to respond and to fill in for those that are there that have a gift. And they may not find many that have their full qualification for being elders, but there are those that do the work of elders. They may not have all the qualifications. Their family may have been not too good, but still, they're doing the work. They're happening faithfully doing the work, although they may not be fully qualified sense of having gifts or having all the qualifications available. One of the things is faithful to the Lord, and He will give us our jobs and our opportunities. Just one more thing I'd like to mention, if we've got time. Hittite. Now, I don't think maybe in this list, but I haven't seen him. But anyway, he was made a commander, a chief commander of David's army. You know about Hittai. When David was in rejection and he was running away from Absalom and taking over the throne, Hittai, with all his family and his men, came after David, and David said, "What are you coming after me for? You're a stranger, a foreigner. Now you've only been an immigrant in Israel for a short while. They don't expect you to follow me. So go back to the king, to Israel." But Hittai, he said that he would follow the Lord the king wherever he went, in life or in death. He followed his Lord the king in life or in death when he was in rejection. And that is the last response I'd like to bring before you this afternoon. To follow the Lord Jesus Christ in his rejection. That is the response to the grace of God. It is a tremendous privilege. If I only had one opportunity to do it, David came back and reigned the men that lost the opportunity to follow David in his rejection. And God made him. But he accepted the opportunity. Now we have the opportunity to share in the shame and of the cross of Christ. For indeed, many are enemies of the cross of Christ. And that means that they do not accept rejection in this world. They will take up a position of kings and those in honor. The Corinthians are told by Paul, "You're reigning as kings without us." Paul said, "I wish you did reign as kings really, because then we'd be reigning with you, but the time has not come to reign as kings. Now is the time to share in the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ and to accept the mockery and the unkind remarks that are made to us when we say that we are Christians and we love the Lord." Hittai, the response to grace, he did that. He was a Gittite. There was another Gittite, I remember, Obed-Edom, the Gittite, who, when the ark of God needed looking after, and there was actually nobody who dared do it, the ark went into a Hittite for 3 months. Obed-Edom, the Gittite, he stepped into the breach, and God blessed his house exceedingly during that 3 months because of it. When the Lord is in rejection, then it is now the time to, as it were, accept that position in this world. And God will bless us spiritually in the new day. Now, maybe two brief thoughts. Be profitable.